Hey there, and welcome to episode 47 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Matt Davey, marathon runner, run to PB coach, and I'm back in the hot seat after a stellar performance from Jack Davies last week on the show, taking my seat. It was great to listen to Jack, and he's a bit of a natural on this, and I reckon we'll be getting him on for a few more takeovers in the near future. Alongside me, as always, I've got my marathoning co-host, Zacha Newman, who probably just had the biggest week of his life, both getting the knee dirty and also moving up an age category with his 40th birthday. Massive congratulations, mate.
Thank you, Mattress. Yeah, it's been a massive week. You nailed it there, biggest week of my life, I'd say, with, obviously... getting engaged, and yeah, knee wasn't too dirty given I was up on the up on a glass floor 300 meters up in the hot in Eureka Sky Tower, but definitely got down there. It took a while to get down there, as you know, with my age body, as you alluded to, Mattress, but happy to get a yes, which is always good, and then moving up that age category into the 40th birthday. A bit dusty on Sunday. There wasn't a Sunday run for me. It was a scheduled rest day / recovery. But how are you going, Matty?
Yeah, good, mate. Good. Yeah, back from Tassie. A little bit tired. We got back flight back in last night. Landed. I can't remember what time it was, but got home I think just before 11. Which is well past my bedtime.
Yeah, I was jealous seeing the photos come through. You did a bit of road trip. We obviously caught up last week with Jack and I called in, patched you guys in. And you were on the road, or you pulled over to the side of a road and were getting attacked by some ducks. But we sort of heard about your plans. But you did a nice trip and took in some sights and a bit of hiking as well, Mattress.
Yeah, it was good timing, I guess, coming off the back of the half. Have a couple of rest days and use the time to go for a bit of do something a little bit different and do a little bit of hiking, do a little bit of tripping around Tassie. It's such an amazing place. We went up to we'd never done the East Coast before. First of all, started up at the Bay of Fires and stayed there a few nights, and some really cool rocks with this orangey lichen covering over the top, and it came out pretty well. It seems to come out really well in the photos, the contrast, contrasting colors with the water and the sky, the blue water and the sky, and the white sands up there are really amazing to see. And I guess that it's a place that it wasn't too busy, I guess, so you could really get in and absorb it away from the crowds. If you get off to your really famous spots around the world, you're fighting with crowds and you don't really enjoy it as much. But up there, it was fantastic to absorb the scenery, take in all the scenery and was tempted to jump in the water, but it was put my feet in. It was so cold. And being sort of, those distance runners, the don't have much insulation these days, so I wasn't really tempted to jump in. That was awesome up there. And then we headed south down to Freycinet National Park there and stayed four nights there. That again, another amazing place.
That one Glass Bay.
So Wine Glass Bay is part of it there. On the way we stopped in it. I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce the name, but Bichino, Cool name for a town anyway. But yeah, it's got these amazing croissants, Saka. So over there. Definitely recommend getting amongst them. That was a bit of a hot tip from one of my mates down here, Ben. He'd told us about it. So we stopped in there for and
clean them out.
A delicious almond croissant. Then we did it was 11K round walk that took in Wine Glass Bay and Hazards Beach. And but we added on a little bit to the end of Wine Glass Bay. And that was so picturesque. That Wine Glass Bay, I think it's rated in the top 10 beaches of
the world.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's going to be the top 10 beaches, it's got to be bloody amazing. And sure was. I remember Gemma and I discussing it, but can't really rank that because I've never been to I've been to a lot of beaches, but not that, not across the world. So I'll take it for its word and it'll be a top 10. Top 10. The probably the most hectic thing, we climbed Mount Amos, which gives you a amazing view of Wine Glass Bay. But they do recommend not doing it when it's wet or when it's been raining. And we got to the top. And I remember looking across and said to Gemma, it's like you're climbing up boulders and like almost vertical.
Do you have the 4%ers on?
I didn't have enough grip. I had the pegs on, actually. Trusty pegs on.
So a couple of runners that usually stick to the, flat row. I mean, you guys do a little bit of trail running, but not. To go out and hike and up on the boulders, it must have been a bit of an agility test as well.
Oh yeah, my ankle's pretty sore. Like the ankle that I got operated on a couple of years ago because it hadn't been needed to be put into those positions, rock climbing and things like that for a long time. So, and I think Gemma was a little bit sore across her arms because on the way down from Mount Amos, it started raining. When we got to the top, there's some dark clouds around. It started raining, so she ended up basically sliding down, I think, 90% of the mountain on her bum. So, and then her arms are really sore from that too. Don't know how this is, allowed to be done. I think it feels like there needs to be rails. Like there's a couple of signposts telling you which way to go. But, I guess that keeps it more remote. And there are, signs around saying, don't do this if you're agile or capable of doing these sorts of things. So, yeah,
worth it for the photo though. Gee, that's epic. I'm just having a look at it now. There's a photo of you two on the top of Mount Amos. So yeah, very cool.
It was well worth the views. Really well worth the views. That climb and it was something really adventurous that when you're in a marathon block or something like that, you don't normally do those sorts of things. So it was pretty much just good timing coming off the back after to get that chance to spread the wings and change it up a little bit.
Yeah, good stuff. So we'll talk about your running in a moment when we bring in the great man Dane Burway.
And how about you, Zaka? Your I know we mentioned the engagement. Why the up the Eureka Tower and how long did the sort of plan take? Were you thinking about it for quite some time or?
I had to sort of plan it out strategically to get Sean to go up to Eureka, particularly on a Thursday, because as you know, I'm pretty regimented with my running, and she was wondering why I was going to run in the, or I actually mentioned to on a Wednesday that we had been invited by a friend to go up there for a drink, and she hadn't been, and she's like, oh yeah, I haven't been up there as well, and it'd be a bit fun, and said, oh, I'll do my run earlier. And sort of had to then utilize this poor friend to sort of say as we got up there, she was like, where is this guy? Why is he so late? And I said, oh, he's passed on a ticket to this Edge experience, which is, I don't know if you've done a mattress where you go out on so we were checking out the building, checking out the views, 360 views around obviously at the Sky Deck, and then there is the option to do this edge experience where Sham had said previously, oh no, I'm pretty good with heights, like, you know, I'm okay and I'm enjoying this view. And they said, oh well, let's go do the edge. And yeah, they yeah, you go into this glass cube, they close the they sort of bring on some suspenseful music, and then the goes a bit dark, the windows go dark, and then you kind of know what's happening, that you're getting jutted out to 300 odd meters in the air in a glass cube. And Sham's sort of looking at me like, oh, I'm actually not really that good with heights. And I'm thinking, oh, far out, this is not going to go well. Yeah. And then anyway, they yeah, the music sort of ends with that suspense, and the windows come up, and your the blinds come up, and yeah, you can see pretty much straight down 300 meters, and all around it's you're suspended in the air. So it's pretty awesome experience, and I was actually pretty scared as well, like going, oh wow. And then you get your bearings and you're like, okay, it's not too bad. But Sham didn't really want to move. And she's like, yeah, I can't, like, I want to get out of here. And I'm like, no, it'll be all right, it'll be all right. She warmed to it after a few minutes. You only get like 5 or 8 minutes in there. But I had organized with the photographer. They sort of give you a cue. They've got a camera in the cube. And yeah, they said, when we tell you, hey, you know, go and get a photo, stand out here. And that's when Sham finally was able to move off holding the railing for a few minutes. And she moved and got into the position for the camera. And that's when I somehow gingerly got my way down. I did a 60-minute run earlier, so you know what I'm like, actress, when I've had a run. And sort of used the rail to get down, and got the job done. But it was pretty exhilarating experience. And Sham was still trying to work out what was going on and whether our mate was going to still come. And then we obviously, that was all front. And then off to dinner after that, and a few cocktails, and enjoyed the celebrations, and they continued over the weekend with my birthday.
Yeah, fantastic. You got the proposal in before your 40th as well, so you can say you got engaged before your 40.
Yeah, good deflection on the age as well. Like, people are more excited about the engagement than you turning 40. But I had a bit of a bash on Saturday arvo, and caught up with some, obviously with lockdown, and it was a few people there that just hadn't really had a chance to catch up with properly since. So it was a nice reunion with some school friends and some runners in there, and definitely enjoyable Saturday afternoon into the night. And luckily I got my Sunday run in on the Saturday in preparation, knowing that Sunday was going to be a complete write-off.
Well planned for that one. Really well planned. Yeah. That's good, man. Congratulations. No, it's such exciting news when all that came through. And great to hear you had a great Saturday night birthday party.
Yeah, well, we should, thank you, Mattress. Yeah, we should actually talk some running though. And
yeah, absolutely. And we're going to dig into a bit of our own training over the last few weeks and prep. But for something a little bit different this week, we're going to bring in Run Creatures' Miles Goff, who over the weekend had a huge win at Canberra in the marathon there, running 2:25. And yeah, let's firstly hear about how his day went. So Miles Goff, welcome to the show.
Hey, Maddie and Zach, thanks for having me back.
Hey, Miles. I was absolutely on the edge of my seat tracking that race on the weekend. And we were, both Maddie and I, were just so pumped to see that result. So congratulations, mate.
Oh, thanks so much, Zach. Yeah, it was, pretty happy with the results. Obviously, it was a good day. It was a long day, but it's so happy with how things went.
Yeah, and I was when I was tracking the race and sort of the splits pop up, you know, in different sections, and but you were very consistent on those splits, and then looking over your Strava as well, there was I'd irons them out a bit over the course. Like, you had some faster K's and some of the slower K's, but yeah, irons them out to to pretty much hitting 225s for, yeah, 225 pace for the whole run. Like, what, that's, yeah, 325 per K pace. Mm. Yeah, for the whole run. So, yeah, how'd you find it out there?
Yeah, it looks pretty good on those splits when you sort of look at the averages, right? It sort of came out pretty clean. The last 2K were pretty hard. I guess we can get into that little bit, because I definitely hit a wall, sort of, you know, felt it with 2K to go. It came in waves, and then with the last 500 meters, like, the legs were completely jelly. But
good footage of that. Oh, I'm saying.
Yeah, there was some incriminating footage of that finishing straight where I was looking a little wonky, been very happy to just, you know, be jogging it in over the line. But luckily I'd managed to create a little bit of a buffer earlier on in the race. So the day was great. I mean, the day before, I was actually a little bit worried because I was getting messages from people about what the apparent temperature was going to be on race day. You probably felt it down in Melbourne, like we had this polar blast that sort of came in, bringing this, you know, cold front. And all the chatter was that it was going to be feeling like, you know, sub-zero on the day, on the morning of, like, you know, minus one with the wind chill. And so day before, I'm sort of thinking, shoot, do I need to go, like, run to Rebel and get, like, some arm warmers or a headband or something? And in the end, I kind of just, like, I decided against it. I said, look, like, you know, you've trained wearing specific gear, you know, you just, if it's cold, you're just going to sort of battle it out. And, like, I don't know if that was, you know, the right decision, but I kind of made peace with it on the day. And then race day rolled around, and luckily it wasn't quite that cold. Like, I sort of got out of the car at 6 a.m. and jogged over, and it probably felt like it was maybe 3 or 4 degrees, so it was cool. Mm-hmm. Certainly cool, but it was like, I guess you got the adrenaline sort of in your veins coursing through you, and so you're putting that thought out of your mind. And standing on the start line, I actually felt like, you know, I was looking around and felt like it was going to be pretty good, like the conditions were pretty optimal. So that was a relief. And then just sort of waiting for that start gun to go. And I knew a few people on the start line. Obviously there are a few guys that I train with who were there, and I sort of knew what they were targeting. And then I saw a couple of familiar faces, but I was sort of looking around and wasn't sure if there was going to be, you know, anyone who sort of came out with me initially. Cause I was basically targeting, like, those 3:25 sort of K average pace to start. And that gun went, and it was pretty apparent from the get go that I was going to be, sort of leading the charge the whole way. And so, basically led that race from the get go, and managed to hold on for the duration.
So you were solo from through the first few K and pretty much, or the whole way?
I was solo from the first few meters.
Wow.
I was like, looked at my watch, and I was like, oh shoot, have I gone out, like, a bit hot? And I kind of just like slowed intentionally. And that first K of the marathon, you actually get a little bit of a hill, because you go up and you go around Parliament House. So there's just a little bit of a hill, and I kind of just slowed it down. I was like, look, maybe someone will sort of catch me up. And I could hear a few footsteps, but then it was just like, no one's coming with, no one's going to be sort of, running with me at all. And so, pretty much from, 20 meters into the race, I was up front, kind of made peace with that early as well. I mean, I've spoken to you guys about it, but, like, a lot of my training, I sort of do some of these solo long runs, and I was pretty mentally prepared to go in and just sort of, fight through that race, up front by myself. And that's how it played out.
With that course, or the timing of the race, did you have the half ahead of you? You would have gone through the half field at all, or?
No. So the way they staggered it this year, because in past years, they've sort of run it over 2 days. Mm. And so they would have done the 5 and the 10 on the Saturday, and then the half, the marathon, and the ultra on the Sunday. And so when I ran it in 2019, that was the case. Like, I was pretty, like, immersed in the half field. But this year, the way they staggered it, and maybe because I was just, up front and running a little bit quicker, I didn't, I didn't see, like, I saw the half guys running, but I was ahead of them, and they never sort of caught me up. So I was basically didn't get to hang on to any of them. I mean, I was hoping that maybe that would work out, but it was just the timing didn't work out. So I didn't get to benefit from those half marathoners at all.
Yeah. And then is there any points, I'm pretty sure throughout the race that you could, so you do a turn and switch back and you could see others behind you. Was there any point where you were thinking they're getting fairly close, and don't know, getting a little bit concerned, or you're like, nah, I've got a good buffer throughout the whole race?
Yeah, you hold out for those points a little bit. And there were two or three where you get a good read, because there's sort of, you get these like tight U-turns and then you're just sort of doubling back, and you can look at your watch and just time it, right? Mm-hmm. And so the first one probably came around 15K when I got a good read on where the chase pack was. And yeah, so 15K, they were probably about just shy of 2 minutes back from me. So, you know, that was a good indication that I was going pretty well, but they were moving, man. They looked like there was a pack of four or five runners. I had a training mate in that squad, and I knew what he wanted to do, and they were looking strong. They were looking like they were moving pretty well. And, you know, you can't count anyone out at 15K, right? It's like anything can happen. So I could have blown up and they could have just, you know, put in a real good surge and caught me up. But yeah, so, you know, you sort of mark that point. And then there was another point at 23K where I sort of noticed that the gap had widened just a little bit. And then at 30K, that was the sort of last real indicator where you sort of get that, you know, tight U-turn and you can just mark it on the clock. And I think the gap had widened out to about three minutes by then. So yeah, I was feeling pretty confident, Maddie, that I'd built up a pretty good buffer on the field.
Yeah, it's also the exciting about a marathon, isn't it? That you never know what's going to happen in that sort of last 12K. You can really start burning time quite easily. But obviously you were pretty confident then. And that can work in your favor, where you can just relax and just focus on your own rhythm and not have to stress too much about other people potentially catching up.
It's that thing though, isn't it? Sorry, Matty, I was gonna say it's that thing where even up to the last straight, you just want to get home. Like, you know, if you're on a target pace and you just know, you know, if you've had issues in the past where, you know, cramps or hitting a wall where you just get to 40K and like, okay, I've still got to get another 2K, like I've still got to get there. And I know it's stressful as well, isn't it? Knowing that, you know, you just still got to hold it together.
And it's pretty amazing how quickly things can kind of change. Like I was thinking about it today. I was sitting down, writing down some thoughts. I'm like 30 to 35K. That was like one of my it was probably the fastest 5K split of the race. And I was still feeling really good. And I think I was kind of buoyed by, you know, hitting the 30K mark, still feeling pretty good. Seeing that I'd had like put a bit of a gap on the chase pack, saw some of the half marathoners who were moving pretty well, got a few cheers from teammates and friends and all that. And then I was feeling really good. And then 35K came and went. And then the fatigue just like really started to set in. And it was like pretty stark. Like I was like, geez, I was feeling pretty phenomenal, like, you know, 30 seconds ago. And now I'm like, you know, when is this race going to be over kind of thing? And it's like, it's the mental, it's the psychology of it as well, I guess, that you just know, like the end is near, it's creeping closer, but you know, it's still 7K. I mean, that's still a fair distance that you've got to cover. And so luckily I was able to sort of ward off that fatigue just long enough, and then still maintain decent pace up to about 40K. And then yeah, those last 2K, ooh, they were a grind.
Is there anything that you turn to in those sort of moments where, you know, it's getting really tough, and but you know, you can work through them within the space of a few minutes potentially? Is there any sort of tricks that you go to?
I was pretty lucky to have a couple, you know, people out on course with me. My wife was out on course. My good friend Greg, his partner was out on the course. My coach Barry came down from Wollongong, so he was out on the course. So I was pretty lucky. Like coming through 37, 38K, I saw, you know, all three of those individuals, like my little support squad. And so that was pretty, you know, just that gives you a bit of an emotional boost as well. And so that's super helpful. And then I guess just like in terms of mantra, like I don't have anything that I kind of go to and replay in my head, but just sort of thinking about just all the effort that, you know, has gone into this training block. I kind of say to myself, you know, this is why you work. This is why you put in all that hard effort. It's to show up and capitalize on these opportunities and these races, and that sort of works. And then just thinking about, you know, all the support I've had, and it's been very humbling over the last like few months, just to get messages of support from people and to get the support from yourselves, like you guys in the pod and the Run to PB community. I mean, that's been huge. And yeah, my mind kind of turns to that, and that just sort of serves as good motivation.
Hey, Miles, question about your drinks. Did you hit all your drinks? Were there any issues, any drops? Did that all go to plan? drink missed some gels?
Yeah, so I started the race carrying two gels. So I was like, the plan was to kind of have a gel roughly every 10K. And so I'm like, I'll carry a couple. And then I put a bottle out. They had five drink stations. And I put a bottle out with a gel at each one. They were kind of oddly spaced. Like it was like 6 and 8K and then 25K and then like 38 and 40K. Like it was really like, there wasn't much in the middle there. But I missed the first one. And that was a bit, you know, you're just kind of running at pace and they didn't really have much rhyme or reason to how they'd laid them out. It was just like a, you know, a collapsible table with like 200 drink bottles on it. And I'd put some pipe cleaners on my bottle thinking, oh, that'll help. That'll make it visible. And just like, yeah, it was a lost cause. Like couldn't see it at all. But I was quite lucky because there was a guy pacing, not pacing, but he was on a bike, like sort of mapping the route for me, just riding a few meters in front. And I kind of yelled up to him and I said, look, mate, like, can you speed up to the next table and just let him know like my bib number so they can get the bottle, find the bottle and get it ready. And he did one better because he was kind of on a walkie talkie. So he was just radioing up ahead. And so I got some pretty personalized service after that. So I didn't miss
your order.
Yeah. So it was pretty good for me. I mean, I don't know how people in the, you know, further back in the field fared, but from then on, I was pretty good. They had my drinks waiting for me and ready. So yeah, that all went really smoothly. I'd left a couple of drinks with my wife and gels as well. And she had some pretty good handoffs along the course as well. So yeah, absolutely no problem with fueling and getting my drinks in. So yeah, very well hydrated. And look, the temperature was such that like hydration wasn't really like a noticeable issue. I mean, you still want to be getting some fluids in, but yeah, it was so cold on the day that you didn't really notice the thirst at all.
And so then in terms of those last few Ks, like you'd mentioned that they were pretty damn challenging. Do you reckon you, you hit your nutrition plan and had enough energy there in terms of that? What was it that, or was it just, you know, you feel like general fatigue? What was it you think that those last few Ks made it so challenging?
Yeah, I think it was fatigue, man. And it's hard. Like the last marathon I ran in Melbourne, my last 2K were my two fastest K of the race. Like I just like ramped it up and I finished so strong in that race and felt like so good. And I was chasing people down and, you know, you go into this race thinking, yeah, all right. Okay. Those last couple Ks, like I really got to just like fight and sprint at the end. And there was just like nothing in the legs, man. Like seriously, like any incline, like it doesn't matter how small, like it was like, there were a couple little stretches of road there where it was like, you know, maybe climbing like 2 meters, but it just felt like I was kind of, you know, running through mud at that point. And look, it came in waves initially, like I said, like, you'd hit this little molehill and it would slow you right down, but then you'd come over the top and you'd be going down the other side and like, oh, my legs are back. I'm fine. I've got some pace and that would carry you for a little bit. But then, yeah, 41 and a half K, there was just a little 10 meter rise to get you back up into the sort of parliamentary district of Canberra and sort of shoot you towards the finish. And that was just a slog, man. It felt like I was climbing Mount Everest to get up that hill. And the legs didn't come back after I got to the top of that one either. It was just kind of like, all right, just this has got to be over soon. And you know, it is like there's good crowd support at that point. There were people cheering and I was just kind of just jogged it in at that point. Probably slowed down to about 4.5 minute Ks, I imagine, for that last 500 meters, but got the job done.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'd also say that like mentally it's, you know, you use a lot of fuel when you're just running solo, you know, you didn't get a chance to key off anyone, sit in a pack, everything, I guess, was just consumed when you're in your own race and your own thoughts, like, and that probably plays a toll by the end of 2 hours plus. Like if you did a solo session at that pace for 2 hours 25, like it's just, you'd be fried. So to be in that environment with all the stresses around a race and all the rest of it, I think, yeah, that's probably played a part in those last few Ks as to the wheels starting to come off, which you still managed to hold it together. But I think it's I'd say that had a part in it as well.
Yeah, I think there's definitely truth in that, Zach. I mean, like, again, I hark back to Melbourne, but Melbourne was fantastic. I mean, I had this amazing pack of runners. I think, you know, it must have been 30 guys running through 10 or 15K. And then you know, it dwindled to maybe 10, but there was a pack of 8 or 10 runners out to almost 30K. And it's just awesome. You can just kind of switch your brain off and just you know, you get in that pack mentality and you're kind of, there's a lot of camaraderie in it and you're helping each other out. And then the race sort of starts at 30K, like they say. But yeah, just the other day in Canberra, and you're right, from running solo from the get-go, it's just a lot of mental energy exerted, and you're sort of just alone with your thoughts for 2 and a bit hours. And I think it takes a toll. And you're right, like, you just don't have anyone to sort of to key off from a pacing perspective, and just to sort of to just keep you like just engaged a little bit. Like, you kind of need that sort of group mentality to just sort of stay locked in and engaged on a pace. And so, you know, Matt, you talked about how my splits looked relatively average. Well, there's still a fair bit of like, when I go in and like sort of, you know, get nitpicky and sort of analyze it, I can see that there was still quite a bit of variation in some of those sort of 5K blocks. Like, that's how I set my watch, 5K interval sort of thing. So I was kind of checking in every 5K, trying to hit those 5K splits. And I look at them and I'm like, oh man, there's quite a bit of variance in those splits. And like, some of it's due to the course. Like, there were a few hills, but nothing major. And so some of it was just kind of like, wow, you just let your mind wander a little bit when you're out there all alone.
Mm, yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely that mental fatigue from, being solo is such a big thing. Especially for that length of time. I mean, even, I don't know, sitting riding something for two and a half hours, you get a bit of mental fatigue, and you've been sitting on the couch for doing it. And then getting the win. What was the emotions like over the line? Was it just relief, or you were gave it a bit of a celebration as well?
Yeah, what was the celebration move?
No, it would have been a pretty sloppy celebration. Very happy to get the tape, and then it was just kind of I think it was a bit of joy, a bit of relief. The exhaustion kicked in pretty quickly, and then the pain kicked in pretty quickly. My foot was just in agony afterwards. Mm. It didn't take long. Like, as soon as I stopped moving, I was just like, oh crap. I was just limping around and hobbling, and
Was that the plantar?
Yeah, it was. It's the plantar. And look, for whatever reason, you know, adrenaline, chalk it up to something. I don't know, maybe some kind of mental block. Didn't bug me at all on the run. Like, I was aware of it, but wasn't like hurting. Was able to block out that pain, and then, you know, stop moving. And it was just like, I was in a world of hurt. Like, every step was agony for 48 hours. It's starting to feel a little bit better now. But 48 hours, oof, that was rough. But I was chuffed, you guys. Like, it was pretty awesome to take the win. Like, I was super happy with that result. Obviously, from a time standpoint, like, I'm still hungry. Like, there's a lot that I think I could do to continue improving. But I think I executed pretty well on the day in those conditions. And look, at the end of the day, it was also just awesome to be part of a running festival again, man. It was so amazing. Like, you know, you think about your own preparation, your own journey going into these races so much. And maybe that's the mentality that you need to have when you're sort of approaching a race, because you just need that focus. But when you're there on the day and you're amongst like that atmosphere, it's so cool to just see everybody who's putting in work and chasing their goals and fighting to get to the finish line. That was like, it was just phenomenal to be part of that atmosphere. And I found that I was just like thinking about all the people, man, like all the other runners, all the other participants, the people out spectating, all the event organizers, and just being really sort of grateful to everyone for sort of, you know, creating that atmosphere and that environment on the day. Cause it was, super memorable.
Yeah, it can be an emotional time crossing that line. Just everything pour out, and Matty and I experienced just from being down here, or Matty was in Tassie, I was in Melbourne, just seeing the results come through. And it was a huge day. A lot of our Run to PB athletes had blinding races, and then just hearing Brady talk about what it was like on the ground there. I think the past years really taught us about getting back and racing, and how much how inspiring it is to see people of all levels build up for a race and then execute and get jobs done. And it was very cool to see everyone do so well over the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's like, and you guys know, and a lot of your athletes would know, it's like you train for a marathon or a half marathon or even a 10K, and it's like there's a lot that goes into that. I mean, there's a lot of time commitment, there's a lot of energy, a lot of mental, you know, exertion that goes into that training, and it creates a bit of a bond, right? And I was saying to my wife, it's like, you could be standing there watching complete strangers run across the finish line, and you still get this kind of jolt of electricity surge through you on their behalf. Like, you're just excited for them because you know how important that is and how much work's gone into it. And, you know, that's so cool to see and to feel. And yeah, that energy was definitely there in Canberra. It was cool to have that back. And it just reminds you, you know, like what we've been missing all this time, but also just, you know, how privileged we are to sort of be in Australia and see these races starting up again. It's it's great.
And now what does the recovery look like over the next couple of weeks? Are you going to let the plantar settle down or head out for a run within the next few days? Or what's the thoughts going over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'm a bit torn. My wife borrowed my Garmin yesterday to go for a run. And I said, did you save that activity? And she said, no, I didn't. I think it auto-saved and it looked like I did a 5K run.
I gave it some kudos. I thought, oh, geez, he's either pretty ginger or had a big hangover from celebration. So worth some kudos.
Yeah, no, I'll keep the kudos. No, I was on a bike beside her and that felt good. Riding a bike, geez, that was fantastic. My foot didn't hurt at all. I said, this is great.
A new sport.
Yeah, I think I might just be biking around for a couple months. No, it's funny. Like, you know, you finish up and you're super happy to rest for a day. And then you start thinking about what's next. Like, I think I'll take a week and just kind of recover. There's a few jogs like sort of in the program, but my coach and I are both pretty relaxed about that. I mean, we definitely want to get the foot feeling good, feeling right. I think it's going to need, you know, a couple of weeks and some care. Obviously it didn't hinder me too much in the race, but like just for a general life, you know, comfort level thing, I'd love to get it sorted because it is kind of a nuisance to have that plantar pain just waking up and limping around every day. So yeah, I'd love to get that sorted, but then you're starting to think about what's next as well. So in the next couple of weeks, start jogging again, start running again slowly, and start to mark some things down on the calendar.
Yeah, definitely exciting when you get to start looking forward to some of the races. And there's plenty going on with events kicking off, seasons, and the New South Wales season. Obviously, you'll have a few runs at hopefully this year, and potentially Gold Coast, maybe see you up there at the festival for one of the events up there, the 10 or the half, or don't know about the marathon, a pretty tight turnaround, 12 weeks.
Yeah, I hope so. I know I had this little inkling in my head. I was like, could I do it? And then I'm thinking the wise decision is obviously no. The wise decision is to probably, to run the half. Maybe I'd love to get up there and run the half and see you boys up there and some of your athletes. And then, you know, marathon wise, I think the goal would be to target Melbourne in October.
Unreal. That'd be exciting to watch, actually. I reckon I don't know, Zachary, if
you might be going around, we might be watching in the same race.
Yeah.
Yeah, not watching your back for too long.
Well, yeah, I was watching Maddie's back last Melbourne marathon, so
nice one.
Hey, while you're here, Miles, we thought we'd run through a couple of our weeks leading up to Gold Coast. I didn't really do many sessions. I was recovering from the half, but Zach has had a cracking week. 117 kilometers, another big tempo. Zach, how are you feeling? 12 weeks out.
It's Maddie. It was a big week. I just, looking at the Strava then realized that I'd hit that kind of volume because that was off 6 days. So it was a bit of a disjointed week because of being down in Echuca over the Easter break, didn't get that Sunday run in. So I kind of shifted everything forward and ended up running like a 90 minute Monday and a 30 minute Arvo run, try and bang some Ks. And yeah, then got going with knowing that I had my birthday week as well, and I knew that Saturday there was a bit of a bash happening and that Sunday was going to be a write-off. And I had to sort of sandwich two long runs in and wanted to still hit some sessions, so I decided to change them to, I believe I did them on Wednesday and a Friday, which was, again, very odd for me to do a session on a Wednesday. And yeah, managed to do, I went out and did that tempo again. I've been sort of talking about this the last few weeks, sort of started out at 25 minutes, now up to 35 minutes tempo, and just going along the Yarra. And it's one I just wanted to control it a bit more. I ran 3:27s and it was kind of consistent through most of the run. I think in the previous ones, I've probably got a bit hungry in the last few, probably 2 or 3K, and probably pushed it a little bit harder. So this was more about focusing on marathon pace and just locking in and sort of sitting in and feeling comfortable with it. I don't know about you guys, but doing those longer tempos, yeah, it is. It can be challenging because you can start to just waver sometimes when you think, oh, this should feel easier, and it's not. Like you sort of have to force a little bit, then you come back out of it. And I think it's a good simulation of what happens in a marathon race where you go through a few ebbs and flows. But yeah, it's just, I was happy with it in the end. It got 35 minutes done and a good tempo.
What we build that one out to?
I reckon I'll get out to 40 plus, 40, probably 40 would probably be where I go. And then I vary it whether I throw in some hills as well. I know, just to sort of work, just change gears and work up through some strength in the longer tempo. So probably get it out to 40 to 45 minutes.
Yeah, right.
Solid, Jack. Good session.
Where do you go to get some of your hilly tempo in Zacka?
So there's a place, there's Wattle Park, is a really quite a in eastern Victoria, in eastern Melbourne. That's quite a hilly park in there that you can roll a pretty solid loop in there, you know, up to 30 minutes and add a little bit more to get it up even towards a 40, or even just mixing it up on some like trails around the Yarra Flats. I mean, it sounds Yarra Flats, but there's actually a couple of little climbs in there that you can utilize. Trying to kind of mix it up between staying on the road as well, because that's the other thing about the marathon is like, if you do everything on gravel or on paths, you like you really need to bang the legs up. And I don't know if you felt that in the marathon. You've done a fair bit of your work on roads, but I feel like as you get closer to the race day, you want to have that in the belt, under the belt as well, that ability to run longer distances on the road.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like I'm pretty easy on those recovery days. Like I'll try and find some grass and just sort of do some laps. But yeah, a lot of my training is coming on bike paths and on pavement. So, and I think, yeah, and for the marathon, that bodes well, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah. You got some really good bike paths out in Wollongong area. The couple of times I've been there have been, great for a long run.
Yeah, we're spoiled. It gets a bit repetitive, and then I feel like I can't say that. This is just we're just running along the coast for a 30K. It's
yeah, it's a good spot.
Yeah,
hills, 2K, Zacha. That's a
35
minutes work. Yeah,
it was a weird one because I was doing it Friday, and I just jammed in just a little bit closer than I would have liked. I got the call up from Frankie on Friday, and he was like, yeah, I'm doing a workout. You want to join? And I'd previously planned to go a little bit later. Then Sham had actually organized dinner for me. She's like, look, we're going out for dinner. So Frankie's session was like 3 o'clock, 3:30, I think. And I'd run at 8:30 in the morning. So I'd already done like a 35-minute run. And I was just a bit hesitant in that session because as I was warming up, I think just the fatigue from maybe that tempo and just having some different days in there, and actually that night before I'd been out at the engagement, which we talked about earlier, and probably had a few too many couple of drinks to celebrate that. So I think I was just a little bit out of whack, and in that it just warming up in that session, my left hammy just didn't feel 100% doing strides. So I ended up the hills, Frankie, it was sort of 40-second hills, and we're doing it in the tan, actually, up Anderson Street Hill. And I was just quite cautious on the first set. So we did 8 with Frankie, and he sort of he's in great form, and I probably wouldn't keep up with him anyway, but I let him go ahead and just sort of worked up them aggressively. And started to feel out a bit better as the session went, and then dropped down onto the two bridges down along the Yarra. It's a sort of 2K circuit there that we use, and rolled that in like 330s, and again was just felt in control, but didn't feel like really poppy. And yeah, was able to get back up the hills and finish the last 2K a little bit stronger. Like I think I hit a 320 odd in there, and yeah, came finished it off. And I think yeah, just a big week. Knowing I had a long run the next day, I was just like, yeah, I just want to tick this week off, and yeah, I guess enjoy the weekend as well. So, but yeah, it was a good session to knock. It was probably like a 3-quarter session, I'd say.
It's kind of, I'll see what you're talking. It's a, yeah, because other things in life, you know, got to push the running aside at some point. But it becomes a little bit risky when you're changing the week around and you're trying to fit a lot more in than what you would normally do over a shorter space. Yeah, so it's good that you recognize that and weren't trying to push the entire session and try to keep up with Frankie. Yeah, I think that was a really smart choice. It's not always easy to do though.
Yeah, especially like, yeah, you just feel like you want to get in the marathon block. Sometimes you just feel like you've got these two workouts a week and you want to make sure you really hit them well. And yeah, in the grand scheme of thing, in a 16-week block, if one session's at, you know, 80%, then it really doesn't mean much. You just want to get to the line, and knowing I had that long run, which was great. Got out hour 50. So starting to creep that out. I'll hopefully hit the 2-hour mark through this month, and yeah, start to do a bit more marathon specific workouts in there as well.
Yeah, nice.
Good, Zaka. Good. Get me worried.
Now, Mattress, mate, how about you? Because we caught up with you on the road to Tassie, and you were just coming off that half marathon, and obviously the strange sort of scary almost experience, I guess, for you in that last few K of the half where you struggled finishing it off. And how did you go with the recovery, and tell us about how your week's gone?
Yeah, so yeah, obviously I was away in Tassie, so I was just gonna pretty much just trying to use the running and enjoy, like not trying to stress too much about it, and enjoy, yeah, that finding a few new places to run around. And so, yeah, the aim was for the week, not hit any sessions and just run to feel, not try to force anything. But yeah, I took 2 days off running, and then jogged a couple of days of 30 minutes, 2 or 3 days of 30 minutes, and got out onto some trails. And it was a lot slower than what I'd normally do because the terrain was pretty rough, but enjoyed it. Got out and saw a wombat at some point and a few wallabies and things like that floating around. So that was quite exciting.
Do you have the GoPro with you, mate?
No, not for the runs, for the walker, for the couple of walks. Oh, actually, yeah.
Looking forward to the video clip.
Yeah, it was funny. Gemma was actually quite excited for me to bring the second time around. First time she wasn't too happy about it, but yeah, she said she reckoned, oh well, you know, it's a nice scenery, you'll be able to get some good shots. So but yeah, then went 40-45 minutes this morning. So yeah, I reckon I'll take another at least a week of easy running to hopefully try to recover. Yeah, because I've noticed the heart rate still, it's nothing like it was during the race, but it is still elevated, like as if there's something, whether, I don't know, whether it's an illness or, yeah, something amiss with it. Like it's not recovered. Like, you know, and you can usually tell when you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh, that's, the heart rate's just not where it normally would be. It's quite elevated. And same with just, you know, running up a small hill, it just spikes quite higher than what it normally would be. So whether it's just fatigue or something else, we'll book into the doctors and get that sorted this week. So yeah, that's kind of, I guess, my week in the running world.
So you'll go another, you'll just go rest of the week, 45 minutes, 50 minutes.
Yeah, yep, exactly. Yep, yep, yep.
And you're feeling, like you said, you're sort of still feeling those issues just on easy runs and recovery runs, like your heart rate's just not quite, you know, just where it should be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, when you sort of step up a hill and it jumps to sort of 170, 175, and you're like, far out. It's normal. Yeah. You know, it might be a bit elevated, but nothing like that. So, yeah, just got to keep reading the body and making sure that when the time's right, I'll get back into it and not try to jump in too early, because I know then I'll probably just go backwards real quick. So, yeah, just got to focus on how everything's feeling and just, yeah, be patient.
Yeah. Well, particularly off that half, I mean, that was still a strong run. And then to have 1 or 2 weeks to recover from that, that's not going to really do too much for you. In fact, it's probably going to bring you forward, if nothing else, to let it all absorb and then get into another block.
Yeah, well, I was listening to a cycling podcast the other day, and they were talking about how there's two sort of lines you can get to, and you know, a lot of training and quite a few of the races, you just push above the first line and you can recover from it. And there's some races though that you get, and maybe even some sessions, but you get to that second line and it just takes so much longer to recover from. And I feel like I've probably got my body to that second line in that stage. And so it's going to take a lot longer than what it would normally take for me to recover from. And yeah, I thought that was, I don't know, it sort of resonated with me listening to that.
Matt, does it give you a bit of pause for thought? Because like a lot of people, and I talked about doing this, I didn't actually do it, but you know, doing a tune-up race before a marathon, you know, some people talk about hitting a half marathon or a 10K or something, maybe 4 or 5 weeks out to just sort of get them in that, you know, race mindset. Does your experience then in Tassie, does that give you a little bit of pause for thought about, you know, how you'll sort of go into the Gold Coast, whether you'll sort of target a race before the marathon or whether you'll just kind of, yeah, what you'll do beforehand? How does that sort of change your thinking or affect you?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I think like there's the Launceston 10, which I was tempted to go down and do. But yeah, it's kind of after this made me question whether I should maybe not. Yeah, it's tough, and maybe not do that sort of race. Like I think it's maybe 2 or maybe even 3 weeks before the Gold Coast. But then on the other side of things, I feel like maybe I do. I've missed the racing and I need to maybe get out a bit more and experience that sort of, because you know, it does take you to another level, like we found out at Sandy Point, Zaka, in that case. So yeah, it's a good question. It's something I probably should need to ponder over the next week or so, and yeah, make a call on what sort of races I want to do on the lead up to Gold Coast.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, you go see a doctor and maybe you get some clarity on what happened and it's just an anomaly and, you know, you still got a heap of time before Gold Coast, so you got good base to get back. You know, if you take a week off, you're going to be fine.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
You'll be all firing for the Bale Pigs for Frankston at the XCR season with a few relays before the Gold Coast. There's the Gels Park relays, and I think Sandown's actually the week after Gold Coast, so I don't think you'll be going for that, but
no, I'll be going for that one.
Yeah, it's a good point around Miles about what sort of tune-up races we do have leading into Gold Coast, because yeah, it's a fine line fitting in, and it also can impact on your Sunday run as well, because that becomes, you know, a real focus, and then it's like, well, Saturday afternoon if you're doing an 8K cross country, how does that affect what your output is on the Sunday for a long run? So a bit of planning for us both, Mattress.
Yeah, there isn't, like those cross country races, I don't usually pull up too well from them. So
try being 40, mate. It's good point.
Because I won't be chucking the spikes on for it or anything like that.
No, I definitely won't be wearing spikes leading up the Gold Coast for anything. No. Yeah, that's for sure.
Very good.
Nice one. Well, it's been great to have you on again, Miles, and it was just awesome to hear the recap. We've all been enjoying the journey leading into Canberra. And obviously, we're gonna keep you coming on as a regular guest here and talk about whatever race you end up, locking in. You know, as you sort of alluded to earlier, there's going to be a few that you've got your eye on. So, we'll definitely be keen to continue hearing about your journey.
Oh, well, thanks so much for having me on, guys. It's always a pleasure coming on, chatting with you. yeah, sharing the journey and also hearing about your experiences and your training and stuff. And yeah, I mean, that's what's next. I'm excited to follow both of your journeys as you prep for Gold Coast. It's going to be great.
Thanks very much, Miles, for jumping on too, and congratulations on the win. And yeah, also looking forward to reading a few more articles on the Run Creature site.
I was going to say, it's going to be a big recap in the Run Creature website.
Yeah, hopefully working on it now, slowly but surely. Like you said, you finish a race like that and you just sort of overcome with all these emotions and thoughts, and then trying to get that down on the page, it's taking a little bit of time. But hopefully a good thorough recap coming soon, guys.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely share that out there in our community. So yeah, thanks again, Miles.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Cheers, mate.
Hey, mate.
Now, Mattress, huge weekend of results from Run to PB athletes from all over Australia and even the globe, mate. We had, from Canberra to Geelong to McLaren Vale, South Australia, right over to Texas with Big Saprita, with a huge 10K run over there. So, yeah, very exciting weekend of results, Matty.
Yeah, absolutely, Zachar. And also have one of our coaches and co-founder, Brady Threlfall. Had an extremely busy weekend up in Canberra, going around in the half and just taking the casual win in 67.43. And on top of that, 1,150 kudos.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. I just gave you the 1,150th then.
I'm going to take one back. It's too many.
That's got to be a record for me, fellas. I'm stoked with that. That's, thank you for bringing that up. Yeah.
Is that better than the 67.43?
That was actually 67.42 Mattress, I think. Wasn't
oh, sorry,
it?
Your Strava had 43, yeah, mate.
Strava tax rounds it up and stuff, yeah, I'll take that. I think I nearly got like 1,000 likes on Instagram and stuff as well. Like, I was stoked. Like, I'm usually pretty ordinary at this social media stuff, so when you throw those numbers at me, I get pretty excited.
Oh, no, it's so impressive. When I saw that number, like, geez, you know you've done something reasonably good or exceptionally good with that sort of acclaim. But on top of that, you had your big crew racing in Canberra. Yeah, so obviously, as you've just heard, and I'm sure everyone recognises the voice, on the line with us, we've got, and welcome to the show, Brady Threlfall.
Thanks, fellas. It's great to be here. Long-time listener. Maybe like third or fourth time caller. Been on a few times, so it's good to talk to you two fellas on a Tuesday morning. And yeah, it was such an amazing weekend up in Hobart. That was my first road race I've been to in 15 months. You guys had the experience down at Launceston, and then you guys went to the was a Soul Motive event as well, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah,
when you guys ran the 10K as well. So I trained hard throughout COVID, and then when everything come back, picked up a few little niggling injuries and then had to miss a few, which I was quite jealous about, seeing training partners and you guys kind of getting on the roads. And it was so good just to be back in that running community again on the weekend. And the way my coaching stable worked, I didn't have many at Hobart last week, but I had a lot firing this weekend up in Canberra. Not sure how that happens sometimes. They all just choose the similar races, and it was so good to see most of them in person and, just kind of celebrate their results alongside, my win, which I was pretty stoked to. It was a hard race, really, really hard. Like, it didn't come easy, and one of those ones that I had to dig pretty deep to get the chocolates on that one. So stoked it happened that way.
Yeah, awesome, mate. We'll dig into the race a little bit later. But, before we hear about all that, I guess more importantly, I want to hear about the buzz up there. And you just touched on it before. You hadn't been to a race for, 15 months, did you say? And, and Maddie and I, we definitely felt it when we got our chance to get back on the roads, how exciting it is to be amongst other runners and that those race day feels, putting the bib on. And, from a perspective of a coach, you had so many athletes going around this weekend. How exciting was it for you to see some of the results come out?
Yeah, it was great. Like, to touch on the event side of things first, like, I've been on the track a few times since, like, we've been back from the COVID restrictions, and it's just different on the roads. Like, I think the track's really elitist, and it's kind of like you have to be really into athletics to be there, and you've got the officials and the vibes just completely different. Whereas Hats off to the Canberra. It was like COVID never happened. Like it just felt like a normal pre-COVID race. Everything was simple. Everyone was buzzing. It was like everyone was taking the most of the opportunity to actually race. And you just, they're just the happiest place in the world, aren't they? Like the finish lines of these, everyone's tense beforehand, but then everyone loves it afterwards. And it was a bit of a challenge. It's probably one of the first times where like I had to sit down Thursday and send out all the, like the race plans to the individual athletes, because then I knew I had to kind of switch into my own kind of like race mode a bit. So I didn't want them to overlap too much on the Saturday. So I wanted to be organized, get all that done Thursday, Friday, and then be able to focus on my race a bit. And then afterwards it was, I had Dane and Sam, who you guys talk about a bit on the show, who were both kind of aiming for kind of 72:30 to kind of 73 dead. And I saw them afterwards and they're kind of like, did you win? And I'm like, no, you tell me, did you run 72 something first? Like it was kind of like that level of excitement. So we're really like bouncing off each other. And they did, they both had really good runs and just executed perfectly. And Briar, I saw her at the finish line and she was up and about too. She had like a less than ideal kind of preparation. And Chris Lawrence from up in Brisbane, got to meet him for the first time. Like these are names that we've seen on our screens for years, and then probably would have met if it wasn't for COVID, but because COVID hit and everything got cancelled, like everyone kept training, but we just never had an opportunity to meet these people. And it was really good to see them all in person. And then to then get home and check Strava and see the results from Geelong half marathon the same morning. And then a couple of guys over in Perth as well. It was, I kind of sent you guys through a bit of a screenshot of some of the results, and just so good to see everyone nail it. And I think we can put it down to like a lot of these athletes are making us look really, really good as coaches, but because they haven't raced for so long, it's just a kind of reward for all that hard work they've put in. And they may have ran, say they've ran 3 half marathons. If COVID didn't hit, they might've just taken 90 seconds off every one of those three. Whereas because they missed that opportunity, they're coming out now and running like 5, 6, 10 minute PBs. And it looks like this huge jump, but it's all been there through their consistent training and stuff. So, it was good to be back on the road and just seeing those results in person, and just getting amongst the running community again. It's pretty special place.
Yeah, it is. And like what was the vibe like? After I know you touched on it, but if you go into more detail about, because I just remember thinking back to like when I first the first race that I jumped in the Launceston 10, and it was just, everyone was so happy and excited. And, you know, there were people there hadn't seen that, you know, you'd normally see like 4 or 5 times a year. That was the first time I'd seen them for almost a couple of years. So what was that like?
It was just good. Like you just summed it up. Like I wasn't sure about, like, I think because Canberra's handled the COVID stuff really good, they've hardly had any cases. Everyone was pretty relaxed as it was, because that whole population has probably had it pretty well. So as I said, it felt like COVID didn't even exist, never had. I didn't really notice any COVID restrictions in place. Maybe that's a bad thing. Like everyone was huddled pretty close together at finish lines and start lines and things like that, and hugging and high-fiving and just such a good kid. And even like Marcus, like we've spoken about Marcus a few times as well, like saw him at the finish line and you're giving him a big hug here at a PB. And you're just like, it was perfect. It was just a great morning yet. And weather wasn't ideal, course isn't that fast, but to still see people execute was really rewarding.
Yeah, some big PBs. And like you mentioned, the marathon course isn't that fast. Even the half marathon, the half course. So to, you know, like Chris Lawrence, he went from what, 3:11 to 2:56, like, you know, to crack that magical 3 hour. And I had a Matty Morgan. He was,
been hunting. Him. Yep, a legend.
Yeah, you guys met across the line, and I know you would have been excited to meet you. Big fan of the other podcast that gets around, and Matty. He's just been a testament of hard work. Like, he just, through COVID, there was a lack of racing, obviously, but he, the build up to this one, like, I just couldn't see it. He just didn't put a foot wrong, didn't miss any session. Just, you know, there were some days where he had, it was just on the edge, and he would, you know, might have taken a rest day where it was a session. And I was just, it's so exciting when you see someone come out and execute it like that. And he's been trying to break 3 hours for, I think, 8 or 9 marathons. And then he went from, 3:11 to 2:58. So me personally, I was just like, amazing day for Matty.
Yeah, and Chris was an interesting story because same thing, he signed up wanting to take that 3:11 down to like sub 3, and he didn't put a foot wrong at all. And he's based in Brisbane though. And then you guys will remember 2 weeks ago, Brisbane had a couple of COVID cases, snap lockdown. He's like 10 days out from his marathon. And I'm thinking, I'm getting really nervous thinking this guy's put in a 14-week marathon block, big sessions, like, you know, solid progression runs, long reps at marathon pace. I knew he was going to break 3 hours pretty easy, but we still wanted to make sure, like, not go out too hard, remember what the first goal is, and then almost see how far you can get under. So that was another thing we had to kind of juggle. So it was, and then, like, you know, Marcus and Briar, who are also in the marathon, both come out of Melbourne, like, which, you know, one of the harshest lockdown cities, you boys both know that, in Australia. So they'd kind of like, they're standing on the start line coming from that as well. Like, it was just everyone had a different story on the day for that first one back.
Yeah, I had the same with Jenna, one of my athletes. She's based in Brisbane as well. And it was pretty concerning. Yeah, like, was it 3 weeks before the race that snap lockdown occurred, and just weren't 100% sure whether the board was going to open up to allow them to fly down there without, you know, a 2-week quarantine or something like that. And she would manage to knock out a PB as well, taking 5 minutes off her time from 4:07 down to 4:02. And I'm just sure that get her into a, because like you said, it was a little bit windy there. The course wasn't like an ideal course, like a Berlin or something like that. So I'm sure,
These guys are going to destroy their PBs on faster. And that's even like, so like Marcus, Dane and Sam, who ran like 72s. I'm like, boys, you do that at the Gold Coast. Like even the first 5K, we had to run through the back end of like the 5K, like kids, family kind of run walk thing. Like you don't get that at a Gold Coast or a Berlin or a like a really kind of top tier like marathon or half marathon festival. Like, and you just see where the time just comes off. That's what, because no elite people are running PBs there. Like I was 90 seconds off. Hugh Williams won the 10K in a minute off his kind of PB. Like it's a cool trend that you see that the rec runners come out and nail these huge PBs on courses that elites don't even think about trying to PB on. So like wait till they go to fast courses, they're going to find even more time with similar build-ups and effort and execution on race days.
Dane and Sam's a cool story. Now they're good mates on and off, you know, training partners now, and on and off the track they're good mates. And it's so cool. And they were driving the train on that 72-minute bus. And
That was their plan. And like, it was a good course like that. We got to like do the U-turn. So you go down one side of the road, do a U-turn, come back on the other side of the road. And we'd, you know, catch each other a couple of times and give each other a wave. And they were just putting guys to the absolute sword in that pack. Like the two of them running off the front are just like enforcers almost. And just, and I said to him, you know, if someone's not doing any work, don't be afraid to turn around, spin your head and just have a, and Dane's like covered in tattoos. But when you know him, he's the most friendliest guy, but I could see how people would be quite intimidated by his look straight up. And then, and even like a special moment for me at, it was about 19K. I just started to drop off and was probably 20 meters off the guy, Toby, who I was racing. And we were doing one of those out and back U-turns. And I just spotted those two guys. And I know they know me well. I know them well. And I just thought, if you're expecting those two guys to rinse themselves, you better close this gap ASAP, because if they were looking at you in your shoes, they'd expect the kind of same thing. So it's a good opportunity for us to get out there and, you know, walk the walk a bit as coaches and put it on the line and dig deep, because the guy on the other side of the road who's got 3K to go when I had 2K to go, you're going to expect the same from him.
Yeah, you really put it on the line there. And I was tracking the race. And I mean, when you're tracking the races, it comes through with the splits. I think the first one was 10K and you and Toby were running together. And then the next couple of splits came through and I was still the same. And then I think one came through and you had dropped in by maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 seconds or something. And it was looking good for you. How did the race pan out?
Yeah, that tracking's incorrect then, because there was nowhere in this, unless it was the last K.
It might have been the last.
I remember
there was a point there. Yeah,
yeah.
The last random splits there was like 8 point, or maybe it was 10.
Yeah.
timing mats were in a really weird spot.
Yeah.
Not sure what the thinking was there, but still, at least you get some kind of like live data, which is good. And I had like Carly on her phone, like tracking all my athletes, like not that she knows them or anything like that, but I'm like, put them in there. I want to check their splits, like when we get back to the finish line. But yeah, we pretty much ran shoulder to shoulder for the first 5 or 6K. And then he went to the front, maybe about 8K in, and then just put in surge after surge until about 18K. And just, it was a hard race, Mattress. Like, I don't like racing like that. I probably shouldn't say it publicly because next guy is going to try to race me, he's going to do the same thing. But I like running a rhythm and, you know, let's, for example, like I would have felt really comfortable running 21 Ks at 308 to 310 and running a pretty similar time. Whereas this was all over the place. Like we'd run a 320, but then a 303. And then we'd jog for 315, but then run a 305. And it was like doing fartlek. And he just made my life miserable for pretty much an hour. And then I just had to keep closing gaps that he'd open up. And then I just sensed a bit of weakness around 20K. And then I just made a move in the last K and then, yeah, got 18 seconds into him that last K, he cooked himself, I think, from the surges as well and just couldn't respond when I put in my move. But, one of those, I wish he wasn't there because it would have been an easy win because we were about 90 seconds up on third place. But that brings the best out of you when you do that kind of racing as well. And that, like that was his first half marathon for a kid who's been out of the sport for a long time to get back into it. And then like I'm fairly experienced over the half. I reckon I've ran, you know, 15, 20 of them and like, you know, some high level ones. And to go to the front and do that to someone who's older than you, got quicker PBs than you, more experienced than you, just shows, you know, how much guts that kid's got. Going to be a name to watch in the future.
Sounds a bit like I know Bill Rogers used to do something like
he'd
go out hard and then he'd sort of ease back and everyone would catch him, and then he'd do that a couple of times over, a few times over, and everyone would start thinking, oh, he'll go off again and then he'll come back like normal, but then he just keeps going. But obviously you'd really toughed it out and came away with the chockies, and congratulations, that was such an impressive run and great return to the roads.
I was going to say, good raw racing experience, you know, after being off the roads for so long. Obviously, you've been doing some track racing, but training's different where you can dictate the paces and you can just roll along. But when someone else is out there and they're pushing it and they've got a different agenda and you're having to deal with it. And it's great to hear how you worked your way out of it. And obviously tough your way out of some really, interesting parts of the race and got the win. But
mentally for our like half marathon, sorry to interrupt, but mentally, like so many of our clients, like you just got to deal with those like ebbs and flows, like especially in a half, because you're on that edge a bit more in a marathon and you're still going to be out there for a while. You've just got to, I just remember at one stage, I looked at my watch like 33 minutes in and I was like, you're not going to win today, but you got to stay with him until 40 minutes. Like even if you're going to use your finishing kick, to stay with him until 40 minutes, like that's the deal. Like, but then you get to 40 and you go, well, I'm going to see Carly at 16K. Like she's going to have Hudson there. It's going to be pretty embarrassing if I'm, you know, getting dropped. So, okay, maybe just stay with him until 16K. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, it's what, 15 minutes to go here. Like you just got to play tricks and practice that stuff in training and draw on different things to get yourself through it. But,
It's amazing how long you can make deals with yourself for.
Oh, yeah.
Get to the next tree, get to the next roundabout, drink station. Yeah.
And when I was getting dropped at like that 19K surge, I was just like, you've covered 8 of these. It's okay to like, no one's going to blame you now if you let him go in this last one. Like this split is going to be huge. And I must say, like my uncle passed away in October and I was pretty close with him. And I didn't get to go to his funeral because I was in a different state and had to watch it on Zoom, kind of what we're doing now. And I put his name on the back of my bib just because I thought when he passed away, I'm like, next road race, I'm going to try to not so much dedicate it to him, but just like draw on his inspiration and that kind of stuff during the run. And that was the time when I was like, come on, you know, like think of Steve's wife, Steve's daughter, like this is where you've just got to close a 30-meter gap. Can you do it now? And I've never done that before in a race, but I think it's something I'm going to, maybe not with the emotion of that kind of example, but just to, because your mind goes everywhere and you just need to bring it back sometimes and go, simple black and white thing, can you hurt more? think of him. Yes, you can close the gap, go. Like, so, yeah, that was a little tip. If people want to do that in future, any listeners, I highly recommend it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real, racing can be a real roller coaster of emotions with how you feel, you know, even the start, feeling good, and then you're not feeling good. And and that's, it's interesting how you can draw upon and using that example, but just pull yourself to another place and get yourself to another level.
Because you know that those sort of moments, you know, there's a good chance you can work through them, and it might be 1 minute, it might be 5 minutes, it might be 8 minutes down the road, but you'll start feeling good at some point. It's a matter of how you're going to deal with that situation and get yourself through it.
Yeah. And we, like, you almost got to, I know it gets thrown around a bit like that embrace the pain kind of thing. Like, we know what we're signing up for. That's why we get nervous before races. Like, it's very rare that you have that day where it just feels amazing the whole way and you win and you're happy. Like, and then if it is easy, you just start going harder to make it harder for yourself. Like, it's part of what we do, and just got to start thinking about mental things to put in place to be able to deal with it.
Set you up for a big year, mate. What's on the cards? You've got obviously the Bendigo Bats will be firing up for the XCR season. Road races as well. Have you locked something in?
Yeah, I think I'll ideally the plan would be to do Launceston 10, and it'd be good to break like 29:30, and then Gold Coast half, because I think I'll have my hands full with like coaching and inside running podcast stuff, so I won't be able to join you guys on the start line of the marathon, and it's going to just be good to watch that stuff and walk around with a microphone at the end and things like that. And then maybe Melbourne at the end of the year, because I just think, or October, because I just don't think there's any other option really. Like, Sydney's hilly and twisty and turny, and I've kind of just said I'm not the kind of guy to run on those courses. And I think Melbourne, you never know what you're going to get, the weather, but we're not going overseas, not going to Japan. Like, it's going to have to be domestic for us for the next marathon. So sprinkle in a lot of the Athletics Victoria cross-country road racing season, and that will be my next 6-8 months, hopefully.
Oh, that's exciting. And that sort of, set you up for a really good year, and then potentially early next year, maybe things open up and can get to an overseas marathon. But, obviously going to be sticking local unless you're keen on going over to New Zealand.
Yeah, I don't know. You've won it before, Mattress, Auckland. What's that course like later in the year? That's October, November?
Yeah, it's pretty hilly. Yeah. Usually about a week or two after Melbourne, I think.
Yeah. So that might be the only other option for us in Australia. Like, I know Christchurch was last weekend, and that's a pretty fast course, but obviously that's run and done for 2021. But yeah, it'll be good. It'll be interesting to see where everyone chooses to go, and especially like with the prize money on offer for Melbourne and Sydney and stuff as well. Like, there could be some good Australians getting some good paydays that, you know, in the past might have just scraped into kind of the top five.
Well, how big is Gold Coast going to be? That weekend shapes up to be huge with a lot of runs for BB athletes. I know I'm coaching quite a few that are signed up, whether it's for the half and the Mara. And I was chatting to Andy Buchanan the other day. He said the half, his squad's going to be up there. It's going to be exciting again to have that racing, you know, that festival of running where we all get to catch up and obviously ride the highs and the lows of a race, and then talk about it afterwards.
Yeah, I think we just got like a little taste of that at Canberra on the weekend. I think it's going to be like times 10 up at the Gold Coast, and every coach will most likely be there, and you know, all our staff, and probably, you know, other than our internationals, there's going to be a huge percentage of our athletes on the start line in one of those distances, if it's a marathon, the half, or the 10K. So looking forward to putting more kind of faces to names, and maybe a shakeout jog the day before with the big group together in the run to PB kit and stuff, and maybe a few beers afterwards. So yeah, looking forward to that. That's going to be the next big thing. And I think COVID wise now I think we're at the stage where we don't have to worry, like with the vaccination. Oh, well, that's been a bit of a balls up down here, but hopefully the vaccination keeps going. And then, we don't see those snap lockdowns, because that's what you worry about. You're just like, things can turn quick, like 2 or 5 cases turns into that capital city shut down for 5 days and no one can go in, and you'd hate to see that race week for something like a Gold Coast.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. No, we've taken up enough of your time. I know you're on dad duties right now. So
yeah, I have. And I have just watched him. He's just been, the monitor has been lit up for pretty much the last 20 minutes, and he's stripped off the sleeping bag and chucked that over the fence. So
he's ready to race. He's ready to go.
Can't actually see him on that monitor at the moment, and I know he can't climb over, so I'm not sure where he is. Maybe hiding against one of the walls or something. But yeah, thanks for the chat, fellas. And Zachy, congratulations on your recent news. I'm sure Mattress has maybe brought that up earlier in the show. So and the 40th birthday and the engagement all in the space of 3 days. So yeah, I was a bit disappointed. Mattress, he was up in a Chukamoama like 4 or 5 days before. Couldn't get down on the knee in a Chukamoama though, could he?
No,
it's very charm to go out. Well, that's why I tried to get Charm to go out the industrial estate. But
yeah. Maybe I was cramping the style when I went out for those beers with you that night.
Yeah, that's it.
We've got plenty of good wedding venues up here though, Zacho, if you're thinking about it. Yep, plenty good. And thanks for your pitch for the tourism up here last week as well. Not sure what Jack Davis was doing, inviting any listener to come up and stay at my house and stuff. But anyway, I'll have to have a word with him privately. So, yeah.
That's going on.
Good, mate. I enjoyed it. But, thanks again for jumping on, and we'll let you get back to dad duty.
No worries, fellas. Thanks for having me. Talk next time.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, fellas. All right.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Better With Running podcast. Always good to have Miles Goff come on, and it was exciting to have the recap with him after his successful campaign at the Canberra Marathon. And also a big thank you to Brady for coming on and hearing about his story at the half marathon there where he got the win, but more importantly, hearing about how some of his athletes and some of their Run to BB community went at that festival up there and across the nation. Yeah, it's just been exciting having these events coming back, and we'll continue to bring those results and all the news that comes to hand over the coming few weeks as more events kick off. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Better With Running podcast. Always good to have Miles Goff come on, and it was exciting to have the recap with him after his successful campaign at the Canberra Marathon. And also a big thank you to Brady for coming on and hearing about his story at the half marathon there where he got the win, but more importantly, hearing about how some of his athletes and some of their Run to BB community went at that festival up there and across the nation. Yeah, it's just been exciting having these events coming back, and we'll continue to bring those results and all the news that comes to hand over the coming few weeks as more events kick off.